Would you remain seated and turn in your hymnals to hymn number 338, I Know That My Redeemer Lives?
Than what you generally hear. We'll read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I have read the Book of Mormon. The first time I read it, probably I was about Bronze Age, maybe somewhere in there. And probably took me 2 years. I don't know how long it took me the next two or three times I read it, but a few years ago I read it one winter in 10 days. I set my goal 77 pages a day, and I got 770 pages, and I read it in 10 days. Well, the next time I read it, my wife was starting to read it, and I thought, well, I'm going to read it too. So I read it. And as I went through the third chapter of Jacob, something says to me, there's a sermon there. And I just put that in the back of my mind and went on. Well, then I had the opportunity to responsibility speak up at the Saints Zion's Witness, I think it was. And so I used part of that third chapter of Jacob is in that sermon. Well, if I get time tonight, I might mention that. But what I really want to do is talk about Jaredites and the Nephites and how they got over here and how they built their ships. But I got a scripture here first, a little out of the chapter 1, the book of Ether. For the Lord said unto me, thou shalt not go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean before the Lord. And in that day they shall exercise faith in me, saith the Lord, even as the brother of Jared did. And they say, and they may become sanctified in me, then will I manifest unto them the things which the brother of Jared saw. even to the unfolding unto them all my revelations, saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and of earth, and of all things that are in them. Well, we all know the story. I don't see anybody that wouldn't know the story of Ether and Brother Jared and all that. And I want to start off here. When they left the Tower of Babel, we know that they took some friends with them. There was a Brother Jared and his family, and the friends and their families. And you get over in there, and they built some barges in their travels. And that's in verse 25, I believe, in the first chapter of Ether here. And during that, that is not the barges that they came over on, because they said, and they lived in the tents when they got to where they were going. They lived there for 4 years. And that was what they were doing, in that they were probably just growing supplies of food and collecting animals to come over here with. And I didn't realize that they collected all the animals that they came, because they said they had snares. They set snares and trapped birds. They brought over two of every kind. They put on those barges. We had a sermon here not too long ago by Brother Ron Smith, and I thought that was pretty sneaky, because I had never thought about how you could have a hole in the bottom of the ship. Well, this talks about the ships being light, and they float on top of the water like a fowl. Well, that's just part of it. When they weren't being blown in such heavy waves that they was under the water. And of course, when they got under the water, they closed the top of the ship. Those of you who weren't there, the hole in the bottom of the ship had a pipe in it coming up above the water level. And that's the reason why the water didn't come into the bottom of the ship, because this pipe was above the water level. That left them probably a fishing hole and a place to dispose of a lot of the waste that they would have had on their trip over here. But anyway, in 43, and the Lord said to go and build after the manner of barges which ye have hitherto built. So they had to build some more different barges, and these are the 8 barges that they built, which had the holes in the top and the bottom. And not to go into a lot of detail, but said, and the bottom was tied like unto a dish, the sides there were tied like unto a dish, the ends were there were peaked, and the top there was tied like unto a dish, and the length of the barge was the length of a tree, and the door there, when it was shut, was tight like unto a dish. So when you get to thinking about it, how tight these barges were with the light, with a hole in the top and a hole in the bottom, you know, and they were dark, we know that, because Jared went and asked the Lord to make these stones so they could have the light. And I didn't realize that chapter 4 and 20, I think it talks about the animals, and they brought 2 animals over here of every kind. I was sitting there thinking this morning a little bit about my sermon. You know, you can bring over 2 animals of every kind if you don't go out and pick great big animals, you know, pick baby animals that you can nurture along. And so that would take up a whole lot less room. But when you get all the animals of every kind on 8 barges, and then it said there was 22 in the family of the Jared and the brother of Jared, and somebody told me one time a long time ago that they called the place where they camped Moriankomer. And they were having the impression that probably Moriankomer was the name of the brother of Jared. So just pass that on, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But anyway, it's a good thought, because they did name a lot of their cities after, and places after, the name of the leader of the group. But anyway, they got the 8 barges built, and they went down and loaded them up, prepared to cross. They sealed it all up. And like I said, in 4 and 20, I'm having a terrible time turning pages anymore. See, and they brought over all manner of cattle, of oxen, and cows, and sheep, and swine, of goats, and also many other kinds of animals which were useful for the food of man. And they also had horses and asses, and there were elephants, curlooms, cumans, all of which were useful unto man, and especially the elephants and the curlooms and the cumans. And now, they had room for some of these on 8 barges. It's just a pretty good trick in my book that, you know, they could have all that room. Well, what's interesting, I've often wondered how animals got over here. Well, they brought them. You know, the Lord had swiped this nation clean of anything that would come. They all had the idea that, oh, they walked across the Bering Strait up there at one period of time or whenever. But they brought over 2 of every kind. And they said they trapped fowl, snared fowls to bring them over here too. They brought seeds over of all the kinds so they could grow their crops and all that. They were on the ship 344 days. In chapter 3, verse 17, it said, friends of the brother Jared were 22 before the trip. Now, they were, I'm sure, expanding, you know, after a few years. And for at least 4 years, they probably had some children. But the friends, they said there was also 22 in the families of the friends that they brought with them. And so I thought that was pretty neat. They went and Jared went up into the mountains, and he got the information, and they built. And of course, they ridiculed him, you know, for building. Said he couldn't build a ship, but he did. They built 8 of them, 8 barges. And I thought it was kind of neat, and I kept wondering about that 8 building barges likened to which they had already built. Now, I don't believe they were probably tight barges that they had already built, but these barges were the length of a tree, and they were tight and pointed. It said it was even pointed, and I thought that just pretty unique that they could come over here. Well, you get on over here a little further. And they put into their sea, and got that written down somewhere, I thought. 92. But anyway, I read it up. I know what it said anyway. But on their trip over here for the 344 days. And they got over here, and I'm missing something. I got it on. See, they also built the 2 stones, which we call the Urim and Thummim, because they were called the interpreters, and they were not to be used until after the crucifixion of Christ. But anyway, when they put it into the water, I don't know, I got that in here somewhere, it's marked. It said the storms that they put in, they were coming in from the east. And how many of you have, I know you've all heard about the easterly winds being terrible winds. Well, it said there were furious winds. And they were winds that, you know, rain and blowing furious waves real high, and they were under the sea part of the time. And I was wondering, it said something about steering them, and Jared asked me, he said, how can we steer them? And it was the only word I ever placed I found anything about steering these boats. But I often wondered how they could get over here in 8 barges and land in the same place without the will of that Lord directing how they got here. But anyway, when they did land over here, apparently all 8 barges were there, and it's pretty interesting about how they did that. And I want to tell a little story here, talking about the easterly winds. You know, we've heard about New York and the easterly winds coming in, north and the nor'easters. And back in 1951, we had a terrible flood down here. And for anybody who wants to know just how high the water was, if you walk over here less than 100 yards, the Missouri River was in the ditch right out here outside this building. The Missouri River was just over the hill over there where Randy Martin lives, just north of the other church. And from there on, clear to the Missouri River bluff over there, the other side of the river, was solid water. Well, this particular, and I lived down there, and I had a trailer house, and I moved it down to right over this corner over here. O.C. Hughes and my wife and I lived there. My wife was pregnant with Susan, and Marion Dean Fry, his wife, was pregnant with Gary Fry, who's here this morning. And both of the children were born between September 21st and the 1st of August, somewhere in August, what Gary's birthday is. But in that particular storm, I had went down with another guy, and I don't have any idea who he was. But we just had little bitty boats. We didn't have no big boats. And I went down to water our livestock that we had in the upstairs of our chicken house. For a period of time, we didn't even have to run water the chicken because all we had to do was walk up to the hole where we climbed up in the chicken roof and water right there within 6 inches of the floor of the chicken house on the upstairs of it. But Dean Fry had put about 20 geese or so up there because they put them in their house when the storm, the flood broke, dam broke. And we went down there, him and I, and we hauled the geese from his place. They were swimming around in his utility room. we hauled them up to our barn up there and put them up where another at least 7-8 feet, 6-7 feet higher. And the water got up, like I say, within this far of the floor. And they could just reach down and get what they wanted to drink. Well, I went down there to water them because the water was going back down and they didn't have any place to get water. And I looked out the east door and I seen this cloud way over in the northeast. And I said, we better get out of here. And we didn't have a very big motorboat. And we had to go about 5/8 of a mile north or south, and then probably 3/4 of a mile west, and then come around to land where it was dry land just right over here, about less than 1/2 mile from here probably. But anyway, I started to cross the fence. We were coming down the road, and I started to cross the fence to go out into behind this set of buildings that was down there at the time. And I sheared a pin on my motorboat. Well, the water whoosh, right across the road, and I got hung up on a fence post on the other side of the road. The water was only about so deep there at this time. And I got the shear pin fixed and got the motor going back in the boat. And went up there and was checking the fence. I was driving across another fence, motorboat north. That's what sheared a prop. But anyway, we was going over that. And I said, we can't make it. So we backed up and went up the greater ditch there, and from then on we was only in water about so deep, and the current wasn't very big, bad there at all. So we could have waded out if it had been the right situation. But as I looked out to the west, or north, there was waves about this high, and the wind was blowing pretty hard by this time from that northeaster, and we had a boat that was only out of the water about this far. And I said, the Lord sheared our pin. You know, or we'd be out there in that waves. And I just, good, thank the good Lord we're here. Well, that on later that evening, Dean Fry and Otho Clark were down to Dean Fry's place, which is further down the mine. And they didn't look out and see the storm quick enough. Well, when they got in the boat and started for here, they realized that they was going to be in trouble. So they headed for our house. And the current was bad. I mean, bad current. And as they got close to our house there, they tried to get into our barn, where we kept the car, called it the machine shed. And they tipped the boat over. They had an extra motor in the boat, and lost that. Got the boat, tipped right back up again, but the motor got wet that they had on the boat, and it wouldn't start. And the machine shed was about probably 50 yards from, or less, from where the machine shed was to where our house was. But in the meantime, there was a tin building, there was a power pole, a guy wire, and trees, and another little building, And they finally got the motor running just enough that they run, not as far from here to Dan, they got a hold of the guy wire, and the motor quit again. And they kind of pulled themselves up to the power pole, and then they worked around and got a hold of the tree limbs, and they worked their way over in behind our house, and they finally got into the house. And they went upstairs, but this time it was getting dark. And they had no way of telling anybody anything. Our cell phones didn't work back them days. And so anyway, they really didn't have a motor on a boat that they could trust to go anywhere. So they decided they'd just stay all night. Well, they found, when they fooled around in the dark upstairs, and I guess they somehow managed to get enough light because there's no electricity. And they found the lantern that my dad had upstairs, because he was sick all the time, winter and summer, and he had a lantern by his bed day and night, or all night every night. And they got the lantern lit, and they found some fruit and stuff that we had hauled out of our cellar and put upstairs to preserve it. And they had them supper and went to bed, hung the lantern in the window. Well, about 8:30 or so that night, after dark, 9 o'clock, whatever, it would be night after 9, because it didn't get dark in July until after 9. Why, Otho's son, David, and his cousin, they got all upset. They felt like they needed to get down and look for their dad and relatives. So they had CBs or whoever it was, they had a big, good boats down there, but we ain't going out in that stuff in the dark. No way. So these got kids took off in a motorboat down there. It's a little two-bit boat like we all had. And they got down there and they seen the light in the window. So they pulled up to the window where Otho and Dean were sleeping. And, they looked the situation over, and the storm had already died down. And they went to bed, let Otho and Dean take the motorboat back to the dry land. But that's just a sample of the northeaster storms. And that was probably a mild one, considering what they really are when you get out. Because I hear about it. I've read about big ships going down, you know, up east of New York out in the ocean. Well, we got the Jaredites over here. And now let's talk about the Nephites. Well, they built their ship. And you look at your maps here. On your left-hand corner there, does everybody get a map? There's some extras if they've done it.
I think we got any extras to pass it up.
I made about 10 or 15 copies that should be one to a family, but I got a little book here that Roberta Bryant wrote, and it gives you the picture similar to what you got right there, only they're different. The Jaredites came from over here and came in from the east, going west. And that's the reason why a northeaster would be such a tremendous storm. And they had to have a big northeaster to get those 8 barges over here. Otherwise, they wouldn't have came. And they just, you know, the currents would not have let them. The wind would not have let them. Well, the Nephites came in from the west. But those maps, and I had them printed, or I print them up. Now, that's kind of a testimony in itself. When I got ready to speak up there at this other at Zion's Witness, well, I was looking for, and I always heard about, the Bible says there's a highway across the sea. And you look right down the middle of that, and you see water going, currents going both ways in that, on that thing on the lower left-hand corner. And that's where the Nephites got their boat, and they only had one ship. They just built the one ship. And they didn't have to haul the animals over here. They were already here. And the Jaredites had brought them. And that's the reason why they found animals over here, all kinds of animals, when they got over here, the Nephites did. But when they tied Nephi up, it shows there they got into how they could have went back 3 days. Well, the fourth day, they untied Nephi. And they realized that the storms was coming up and it was getting pretty wild, and they were getting a little scared. So they turned Nephi loose after he'd been tied up tight for the fourth day. And that, they had their ship in that air, water current there, and I'm assuming it was a sailboat, I don't know for sure, but it was a pretty good sized ship that had the families on it. But they came over here then without any difficulty, except when they had Nephi tied up. And that's when the Lord was said, well, I'll solve your problem. I'll sink you if you don't straighten up, basically. And so they had that current there that brought them right over to here. And I never did find any information of how the their Himmerland landing was. But apparently, according to Bert O'Brien, they come through right through on the same track, basically, as did Nephi and Lehi and their family. But anyway, we know that the compass quit working because of their sins, and they were doing whatever they wanted to do, and the Lord wasn't blessing them, and so their compass was not working. And that's when they went back the 4 days. On the two others, they arrived at the promised land, and I thought I wrote down the number of days here, but I don't see it there, that they were coming across, but it was a shorter trip than what the Jaredites had in their trip across. But if we do what the Lord tells us to do, and if we keep His commandments, what He says will happen. And I think we've got a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous blessing if we keep His commandments. And just like we've had here in our Sunday school class, the first commandment is keep my commandments. That's quoting George. But anyhow, I thought it was very interesting. And I don't know how big a ship the Nephites built, but it must have been a pretty good boat to sail over here. Of course, they didn't have to have it tight, watertight on top, because they were in a current, could sail right over. They didn't have to have all the other things that the other barges did, the 8 barges, because they were underwater. And said they would be underwater until they prayed to help us come back afloat. And, come back up, because they had run out of air, and they'd open the hole, and like Ron Smith said, the up and down motion. Now that's what really kind of twisted my mind a little bit when I was reading this, is how a boat that they said was likened to a fowl. You know how tight a fowl, they said I hear a duck or a goose or something on the water, and they just flow around like an air bubble, you might say. And these boats, part of the time was out, or floating around like a fowl. The rest of the time they was under the water because of the humongous waves blowing them over here. And I thought that was so neat how the writer put in the furious winds and rains and floods that they came over here in. It really impressed me. But get back over here a little bit before I read more about that. Well, in 3 and 23 it says, now the sons and daughters of brother Jared were 22 souls, and the number of sons and daughters of Jared was 12, having 4 sons. So there might have been more than that. But then on down here a little further, it talks about the 22 members of the family that they had. Here it says, it came to pass that the Lord caused that there should be a furious wind blow upon the face of the waters toward the promised land. And thus they were tossed upon the waves and the sea before the wind. It came to pass that there were many times buried in the depths of the sea because of the mountain waves which broke upon them, and also the great and terrible tempest which caused by the fierceness of the wind. And it came to pass that when they were buried in the deep, there was no water that could hurt them. Their vessels were tight like unto a dish, and also tight like unto the ark of Noah. I thought, it just just really impressed me how these things happen. You know, two different situations. The Lord told the Jaredites to build 8 barges. Apparently, just told Nephi to build 1 ship. And they had the ocean highway cast up before them. They just come right across. One is being hated themselves and not fighting with their family. But I thought that be an interesting story there. How another thing, and when Nephi got ready to build his ship, and you know, the Nephi or Lehi and his family had money. They got out there, they didn't have the money because they'd lost it all to Laman. But it didn't make a difference how much money they would have had. They could have had a boatload of gold and it wouldn't have done them any good because there's nobody to buy anything from where they landed there to build the ship. And but they built, and when Nephi went up into to the mountains and molded ore to make the tools to build the ship. And I thought that for the youngest in the family to have this kind of knowledge and skills and understanding that the Lord would tell him how to do this. And a few weeks ago, my wife and I was in Nauvoo, or Kirtland. And anyway, the people up there, they had a waterway that the Mormons have now developed that showed them how they reconstructed the system in which they used to build the Kirtland Temple. And the waterway is about this wide, and apparently the water wasn't very deep in it because it didn't have enough water to run over the water wheel to power it. So they designed it so it could run under the water wheel, and the troughs were tipped at an angle just enough that the water run off of one side of this water wheel and kept it running. And that operated a cog wheel that operated a saw up and down, the old tree saw that they had made, or bought, however they got it. And they said he could cut 1,000 feet of lumber a day with that water wheel and that saw. And I just wondered if Nephi can concoct something like that to saw the trees up over there. You know, it just one of those things that we just don't understand and there's no knowledge there. But another thing that kind of intrigued me, the people that came over here at 585 B.C. or five somewhere in there, 15 years after the Nephites left Jerusalem, it doesn't say boo about a ship they had. They just came over here and landed on approximately the same place or close to the area on the west side of South America and Central America where they did land down there. But I thought it was pretty unique that how the Lord can show us how to do what we need to do what He wants done. And that's my prayer, that somehow we can find out what we need to do to become one, to serve Him, and build His kingdom. And I know that I hear people talk about the scriptures that Zion will be plowed like a field. Well, we're going to have a pretty big plow because there's a lot of concrete up there. Concrete don't plow very good. But whether He uproots it and buries it, I don't have no idea what's going before us. But I do know Zion will be. And I know Tom Updegrove, whose wife's funeral you went to today, was down east here just a little ways. I understood he was down around Bait City. And somehow he stumbled and fell. This is years and years ago. He looked up and he seen a beautiful city. And I remember him telling me that long time ago. And it's interesting. I can remember a lot of things. But talking to a guy today that Tom worked with at Leaner. And his name was Bill Hodges. And I got pretty well acquainted with him at reunions and stuff like that, in the old Blue Valley State or Central Missouri, whatever we was in. That back in the day, probably Center Blue Valley State. But anyway, he was telling about he would travel with four Gleaner with a group of engineers. And he made a statement back then, and this was probably 35, 40 years ago. He said, I was the only one that wouldn't be drunk on most of our business trips. He said, I had to take charge of the car, I had to take charge of the hotels, I had to take charge of this, and take charge of that. Everybody else was drunk. And he said, even the boss was drunk. And he said, he lost all his money gambling, and he borrowed money from everybody he could borrow from. And I said something about, well, you know, he said, I've been thinking about quitting. And I said, you mean tell me you'd quit a good job because of a problem like that? He said, you betcha. And I told him today, I said, at that point, I set you up on a pedestal because you're a man of honor, that you would not give up your religion for money. And I think that's something we all need to remember. This is my prayer tonight.
I was going to share a couple more things with you before we close. I'm sure you all knew, but Brian is Grandpa Vernon's great-grandson, and he is his first grandson, and I'm his grandpa. And
first great-grandson.
Huh?
First great-grandson.
That's what I said. First great-grandson. And I wanted to share just a little bit more about the accident that Brian talked about. That particular morning, she had been coming back from town, and on the roads that she'd driven on, there was no ice, the way I remember it and the way I was told. And as we got that call that morning, and I went out and hopped in the heaviest vehicle I had, because I was concerned about the road, which was a one-ton truck, there was two times driving up there that I all but slid off the road. That's how slick the roads were. And as she rounded that corner that morning and went into a skid, she got hit broadside by a Ford Explorer in the door. And as I remember a little bit about the story, I was told that neither her nor Destiny were breathing, and that Cindy Cameron, now Holman, revived them. And I've always had a little newspaper clipping on my desk, and I've also got another little newspaper clipping about the 93 flood and Mrs. Zur's testimony. And once in a while I'll look at those two little clippings, and I rejoice, because we very easily that morning could have lost a daughter, but God chose to spare her. Like I said, it's been an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. It's not real often that a great-grandpa and his great-grandson get to speak at the same time. So in closing, would you turn to your hymns, to hymn number 292, We Limit Not the Truth of God. Would you stand, please? Sure.
I just thought of something else, just be real quick here. The papers that you got, these maps, before I got ready to speak at this other church up here, I was thinking about trying to find this highway across the sea, and I could not find it. Laying there waking them at night, something said, type in El Nino. I typed in El Nino on her computer and got down there to this where it says Los El Nino Galanamos or whatever that word is. There was this map when I punched that particular verse right there below El Nino. And that map came up. And I have been, we tried before we left home. We tried it in Florida. I've tried it two or three times since, and I never got that map again.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, it truly has been good to be here tonight. We thank you for Brian, dear Father, as he preached his first sermon. We thank you for the courage to stand behind this sacred desk. And we would pray that you would bless him throughout the years ahead, that he might become a mighty servant and warrior for you. And dear Father, we are thankful that each one of us have been allowed to be here this night. And we would humbly pray that you would keep each one of us safe, that we might be able to return here again, and that we might be about the building of your Zion here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I mean, you have a little bit of a And then one for Becky. Good job. And one for me. Good job. Okay, you know what? I do not want to fall out of that Fort Osage education. Okay, I really need to go back.
Oh, you want to do it again? You can turn it more. How dare you, Justin? Ting, ting, ting. That is really weird.
She looks like...
Was there a
Jordan told me, like,
and then I think I paid $50 for the next two total.
Jordan told me, like, I had to pair with the makers and then buy it and, like, make your crown.
That's because you will tell us information and he'll tell him information, so it works out like that. Come on, Riley. Oh, they said cheesecake. I was like, what?
Cheesecake!
Just randomly start root for pies.
I know, apple!
Say hi to Mrs. Freeze. I told her I said, give her a homework. Mrs. Freeze, and
she's turning red.
Did you bring that demerit slip home to your parents?
No. If she got demerit,
we'd be talking about it.
Probably.
Right?
Or texting in class.
Yeah, I think one is.
My phone stays in my locker.
At all.
That's where
Anna
does that.
I
think it's one of these.
No, did you hear the story? Yeah, my dad, my mom.
Man,
I'm sure you did not. You can sign on the merit slip. So.
I had half of this one memorized. Oh, let me try that glass of water.
Where's your glasses?
I'm home.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Maybe,
did you get the recorder?
Hey, turn this thing here off.
Huh?
Where's the button? Turn that off.
It's right. The whole strip, right? I guess we're